You are about to enter a great adventure.
This is Strutting from Gorilla.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a brand new episode of Strutting from Gorilla. I am Mikey Cash. Virtually alongside me is Big Vito, and we are here to give you guys a new episode where today we're going to be talking about, it's going to be one of our IRL episodes, so we're going to be talking about some of the developments in mainly AEW and WWE. We're going to cover some topics there, some of the shows that have happened, and some of our storylines that we're enjoying so far. So before we get into today's episode, I just want to remind everybody that you can find links to all our social media on our website, struttingfromgorilla.com. So be sure to check that out. We'll make sure that it's in the show notes. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please do us a favor, give us a 5-star rating and review, and we'd really appreciate it. So with that all said, let's get into today's episode. Big Vito, how you doing, my man?
Doing great, brother.
That's right. Hey, did you see that email I sent you that I got from Hogan?
Yes, I did. He must be hurting for publicity or something. That's a really weird email. Why don't you explain what it was?
Okay, so for maybe other people that are listening have also done this, but I'm pretty sure I might have subscribed to Hulk Hogan's Beach Shop to just get emails about promotional deals and maybe times when he did signings. Because there was a part of me that thought one day I could get down there. It's something I have wanted to do. But I got an email recently, and let me pull it up on my phone because it's just, it's like something that you get from somebody like in junior high when it's like your crush. And the title is Hulk Hogan, and then the subject line is quick question. And this is the body of this email. Hey, the Hulkster has a question for you, brother. Hulk Hogan wants to know what your favorite thing is about the one and only Hulkster himself. Just reply to this email with your thoughts, brother. He's curious to know, and I would love to hear your answer. I don't know why, of all things to send to people, you're just soliciting an opinion from them of like, this feels like such a setup. Don't they know what kind of responses they're going to get?
Well, I think it would be even worse if it was on social media. The comment sections, I would be there for the comment sections. It would be pretty hilarious. The better question is, did you actually respond?
I actually didn't respond yet. But work got a little too crazy yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to do it. But I will be responding today.
You should respond and say, I think you should check out our Hulk Hogan Spotlight episode from, was that season one? Or season two?
I think it is season one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Good Lord. I think that would be an appropriate response. And then include a signed photo of me and you to the Hulkster. Keep on strutting.
Oh my God.
Mikey Cash.
That's perfect. I think that's what we got to do.
I think so.
All right, I'll be over later to get the autographs. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We've been, you know, pretty WWE centric over the last few episodes, and haven't had a ton of time to talk about AEW. And I think we should take some time. They've had a few things going on.
That's Double a big or development. Nothing.
They've got a new show, AEW Collision. They got their new video game that's coming out. So let's chat about that. Have you watched any AEW lately?
I've been watching the weekly TV, but I did not get to watch Double or Nothing. It was just too jam-packed of a weekend for me. And quite honestly, even though I was enjoying the television, I wasn't personally, I just didn't feel like I wanted to spend $50 on that pay-per-view. So I did not do it.
Yeah, so I watched it, and here's the thing about AEW, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole of negative things, because it's just funny how time has changed. We were so excited about AEW 3 years ago, and they were doing things right, and they have just, here's the funny thing, when WCW was around, they were just doing things wrong. Like, they were just flat out doing things wrong, and it was a bad product at one point. and it wasn't great. What I like about AEW still is that the effort is there. Like, it's not like they're mm-hmm. trying to put together bad product or anything, and they have lots of, I don't know what you would call it. There's like glimmers of hope and things that are done really well. Mm-hmm. And then there's just like bombs. It's really hard to explain. I still enjoy it. I'm not turning away from the product. And the perfect example of this is Double or Nothing, Mikey.
Okay.
I think I gave you this. I'm like, it is full of good and full of bad. Like, it was just 4 hours, whatever, however long it was, of too much. Like, mm-hmm. the thing they were doing well was they were putting smaller events together, and the substance was great at first. And over the years, they've had some hits and they've had some misses. We've talked about them plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And I thought Double or Nothing was good. There were some really great matches in there. Like, Wardlow and Christian Cage put on a fantastic ladder match, probably one of the matches of the night.
That's what I heard.
It was really good. Wardlow did some stuff. I mean, I can't believe he did it, jumping off the ladder and some of the moves he had, but it was a good match. Hated Chris Jericho and Adam Cole. And the funny thing was, I turned it on, and the two matches I was looking forward to were Adam Cole and Chris Jericho. I don't know. I for some reason, I like Adam Cole, and I thought that would be a great match, and kind of was dud. And the MJF match, the four-way, which was a good match, but far, far too long. Like, there were times yeah. I was watching it, and I you know, Kat was watching it with me, and I just kept looking at her. I go, great match, way too long. And I said it like four times before the match was even over.
Jesus.
And I liked that it was, you know, AEW originals, like, great mm-hmm. concept. Loved that they were in the main event. But I just thought it was too long. Love the ending. You know, I'm a big MJF guy.
Sure.
I thought it was great, just too long. And some of the other matches, like, it watered it down for me. There were some other really good matches, though. I mean, I don't really know. Did you catch any of it at all?
Honestly, nothing besides like the clips that they would show on okay. Dynamite and Rampage.
Okay, because it was a double main event, and the first main event was
God. All wrestling does that, don't they? Night of Champions was triple main event. This is double main event.
Yeah,
the main event's just the last match on the card. That's the main event.
I was watching it. I was watching Raw last night and for a little bit, and I was laughing because I feel like everybody in every segment had a belt. Like, Big Mango said it best. Right. You know, if everyone has a belt, no one has a belt. And
a champion if everyone's a champion.
I think we all agree with that, but it was just like literally every segment someone had a belt. And I'm like, why are we even cheering these people? Like, who cares if they have a belt? Like, it really is stupid. And so, anyways, at least AEW, like, it was not every match was a championship match, which was
okay.
Fine. Like, I'll give them that. And I like that they have, for me, I enjoy the stipulation matches. Mm. I think Road Dogg said it the other day. They're talking about bringing back the hardcore title in WWE, which, God, like, yeah, they need another title. Like, they need a bullet in the head. But I think that's not the play. And I agree mm-hmm. with what he said. He actually said, in the Attitude Era, it worked, right? Because everything was over the top. He's like, but in this era where you haven't seen a lot of hardcore matches, or they've used them as specific to storylines,
mm-hmm.
I think if you had it, it would just water down the match. It's kind of like Hell in a Cell, right? Like, no one gives a shit about a Hell in a Cell match anymore because you had a whole pay-per-view about Hell in a Cell. And so anyways, my point being that I watched the double main event, and the first one was MJF match with Jungle Boy and
Darby and
Sammy Guevara, which I know you're not a Sammy Guevara guy, like he doesn't do it for you, and I'm the same way. But I'll be honest, like I actually think he's a pretty damn good wrestler, and with those four guys, like I felt like he shined the most.
Okay, that's great.
Weirdly enough, I mean, it was a lot of flippity floppity dippity doos, but not surprised. That's just kind of the wrestlers that were in the match. But good match. Too long. I thought the ending was good. It was perfect for MJF. I don't know if you followed the storyline, but
I did see the headlock takeover.
he cheated, then did a headlock takeover to win, which I thought was hilarious.
It's in line with his character.
Perfect. Like he's just great with that. And then the other match was what did they call it? It was like a hardcore battle in the whatever it was. I can't think of the name of it, but it was
it's already telling you something if you can't even remember the name.
Well, I can't remember the name, but there's something specific in that match that just pissed me off the entire time, and I'm sure all the people listening know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a battle in the stadium or whatever, and it was
Anarchy in the Arena.
Anarchy,
the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club.
I'm a hardcore guy. I love hardcore stuff. Mm-hmm. I love hardcore matches. I enjoy them. And, you know, there were some people in that match where it fit well. But here's what pissed me off. They came out and, I can't think of the band's name. But,
was it Ozzy? Was it?
No, it was. I can't think of the band's name. But there's a band that came out. So the Elite came out, whatever, to their
their music.
Their music. And then a band came on and started playing Wild Thing. And I want to say it was Anarchy was the band. Maybe I'm wrong. It was something like that. And the guy had a black mask on, which looked like blackface. Not a great look. I don't think anybody watching it would associate that. It's kind of like it was like a Slipknot mask.
Like
it was all black. And I mean, if you're looking to make controversy, like I'm sure people didn't think twice about it, to be completely honest, but then people made mention to it after the match. But anyways, the band comes out and they start playing Wild Thing. And then, you know, you'd expect the band would stop, you know, once they get in the ring and, you know, say their goodbyes. No, they played Wild Thing on loop while the match was going on, just on loop for a good 10 to 15 minutes.
Why? Did something happen with their audio where something just got stuck and they couldn't get it off?
No, they were on the stage the whole time just playing
they were actually playing it. It wasn't a recording of, no. Oh my God.
No, they were on stage playing it on loop.
Jack's birthday or something? Were they trying to give an homage?
I don't know. The only part that was good was I think it was Matt Jackson went up to them at one point and super kicked the guy and they stopped playing, which fine, but it like took away from the beginning of that match. I was like, I want to shut this off. This is so annoying. Get New Jacks. It was just like a beat in the background. It still was kind of annoying.
Usually just like DMX or Nas playing in the background.
Yeah. But oh my God, Mikey, I guarantee if you watch this, it would have been the first thing that pissed you off. I know you well enough.
Right.
You
and it already would have been a long show, so I probably would have been very cranky.
There were some good spots. They went in the backstage. They went in the stadium, and I think Cesaro or Claudio went out and did his little spin.
The swing
on Jericho. No, not Jericho. On who was it?
Was it Omega? Was it Paige? Was it the Bucks? There's only four options.
I think it was Paige. And he did it in the concession stand area, which was pretty cool. there were some good spots, but you know, let me give you one guess. What do you think happened in that match?
What? Go for it. Just let me
John know. Moxley was bleeding. Like,
oh shocker. God. I mean, that's just the usual
shocker, right?
Yeah.
But it was fine. Like it was fine. I just like think that there was so many other matches and there was already a non-sanctioned match earlier in the night. It just was like, you know, like, the Elite's matches just go on for far too long too. They go on for way too long, man. Way too long.
I agree with you. I think a lot of people hold differing views about the matches that they have, because I do believe that sometimes it works for them because it allows them. There are stories that I've seen them tell, and I've spoken with a friend of mine who sort of opened my eyes a little bit to that. It said, you know, there's purpose to what they do, and they're telling a story throughout it, despite what it looks like on the surface of the flippity floppity. Because this was the debate I had with my friend about this, and he sort of explained to me that there's certain nuances, there's bits and pieces of storytelling that they're incorporating into these matches. But I also agree with you that there are times where, despite that, it's just too long. And it feels like it's excess for excess.
Yeah, I get that, and I have nothing against those guys. But no. What I'll tell you, and I made comment to you the other day about this, you got two of the best wrestlers. Actually, there's probably more than two of the better wrestlers on mm-hmm. AEW wrestling in a jumbled up match, like Kenny Omega, Bryan Danielson. Like Bryan Danielson was almost, I forgot he was in the match. Like, yeah. And to me, those guys are older. You're right. But like, this is the time where, you know, people are going to tune in to watch those guys in single matches and they can hold down your program. Why are we putting them in these matches like this? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I would rather see, you know, Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole, or, you know, Bryan Danielson versus, Darby Allin, you know, like,
I'm sure
that to me is because you're building a star that's younger, homegrown. Like, I just think that makes more sense. And I don't know. I just think there's so much roster depth, and it's not great roster depth. It's just mm-hmm. depth. Like, I think they have a lot of potential with wrestlers that are on that.
Absolutely.
On there. And I mean, I hate that they're having a new TV show. They're turning into WWE. We're literally going to have wrestling every single night of the week from here on out.
A plethora of riches, my friend.
Yeah, but I just I don't know. It I'm conflicted inside, because I'm a guy where I like simple, easy things and stories to follow. And I think what made it great when I first started watching AEW was that there were plenty of stories that I could follow mm-hmm. along with and be invested in. Now there's just so much filler and garbage. It's watered it down. And to then water down a big pay-per-view like this, I just didn't love it. That's just me personally. I, you know, and I only speak from what things I enjoy and don't enjoy. There's no real rhyme.
No, that's if you're, I think I think a lot of us feel a little bit of that when it comes to I guess that maybe oversaturation is the word that's coming up for me, because there is a lot of wrestling now. There's almost too much. And it's hard to structure a story when you have that much content, and to structure it well. And if you were already struggling, which, I mean, this is the same problem WWE has. So this isn't an uncommon problem among these big companies. But I think when you have that, you have a tendency to have storylines get convoluted. You have the tendency for certain side storylines to sort of just get watered down or just kind of pushed off to the side. They get the sort of the start and stop, where you'll see them on TV one week, you won't see them next week, but then they'll show a random clip of, oh, this happened backstage last week. This will continue the story. I have my quotes going right now for those who can't see me. But I think there's still, with that, I want to give you some hope that there is still simple wrestling out there. And I'm going to go back to Impact. I know we don't have them on our list today of even what to talk about, but Impact does a good job of keeping their wrestling straightforward. They have one show and they have pay-per-views once a month. They have little special shows that they'll put on their streaming service, which I got to say, speaking of streaming services, God, I love that Impact app. It's just, it's giving me nostalgia for the old WWE network. You know,
yeah.
But anyway, I know we were talking about AEW, but I just want to say that there is still simple wrestling out there. And I think some of the stories even within AEW and WWE, are being told well. It just gets overshadowed by a lot of sort of the watered down kind of bullshit stories that we see. So,
no, I agree. I just the one thing I'll tell you that I think they're doing that I enjoy is that they don't have a pay per view every month, so it makes it seem more special, which I enjoy. And usually they're pretty good. Like, you know, at the end of the day, they're usually good. They might be long or whatever, but I enjoy that fact. It makes it special in my mind. That's pretty much how I feel about it. So, you know, I like I said, I give it like a C plus, B minus. There was some good stuff. It just too much nonsense. Like there's just too much going on when you have to rush matches, and then you have two matches that are an hour and a half long combined. It just doesn't make sense to me why even have the other matches there, you know? So, and now we're getting into the Forbidden Door pay-per-view again here with them, and it's just going to confuse me even more because I don't know any of the New Japan wrestlers, and they're probably not going to go into any context with it like they did last time. So we'll see what happens. But speaking of AEW, the last thing I want to talk about, well, there's two other things real quick, and then we can get into some WWE thoughts.
No, let's show it.
But AEW Collision. So we talked about they're coming out with this new AEW Collision, which the logo is very similar to WCW's logo back in the day. Nitro. Almost identical.
I love it. I actually really like the logo.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my own nostalgia, but I don't hate it.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to watch on a Saturday night, like, but you know, good thing there's DVRs, I guess. And I'm pretty sure they basically came out with this to segregate the locker room. And unlike WWE Raw and SmackDown, it's like very segregated. Like basically it's CM Punk guys and Elite guys. Like that's pretty much it. Like
We'll see. I heard those reports too, but I don't know. I need to see what it looks like first before I make any judgment on it.
It looks like the people that I can see on the ads, you know, Miro's on there, which maybe we'll see a little bit more Miro, which Big Mango would be happy about. You got FTR, I think, will be on there. You got CM Punk. I mean, listen, like if AEW wanted to make a big splash right now, they could, if they could find a way for CM Punk to fight Kenny Omega or the Elite and somehow and use that storyline as a real life storyline, they would make a lot of money. Because I feel like out of everything we've talked about in AEW, everyone's talked about the whole CM Punk situation.
How do you know they're not going to go that route? I mean, we don't know. It's interesting.
What I read is that he's not even allowed to talk about it. Like that's what I read. Like, so, which is going to be weird.
It's gonna be like stuff if there's still that going on.
But you know, CM Punk, there's no way he can control himself. There's no way he's going to find a way to go. But after
everything, we've shared about this. We've talked about him before.
I can't see it. I can't see him keeping his mouth shut. It'd be like a neutered CM Punk, which is like not CM Punk. So, if there's anything that makes him watchable, his wrestling's like mediocre, right? I mean, it's not a bad wrestler. He's older now, so it's probably not as good. But I had a dream last night, and CM Punk was in it. Weirdly enough, this is my life, and it was him coming back, and he came back in a tag team and didn't say anything when he came out and just went into wrestling. And then the first thing he did was pull his hamstring.
So it was a mixture of a CM Punk and Kevin Nash dream.
Yeah, pretty much. So we'll see what happens. I mean, look, AEW needs a big splash here.
Yeah,
They're on like the precipice of, you know, they're really the only competition WWE has, and they're still not even close to their level. But I said this the other day, and I'll say it again. You know, you go back to WCW, and when did you see the lines flip from WWE to WCW, they brought on Hogan, and they spent a lot of money on Hogan. And is there a guy in WWE that's a big star can say would make that flip, Mikey? Is there one? And you know John Cena is not leaving WWE. That'll never happen, right?
He's not even going to be wrestling anymore.
Goldberg, whatever. Like, he comes over, he does his retirement match, if that's a thing. I just don't think people are going to – people might tune in just to see him on that program the first time, but he's not a draw. He can't wrestle. I'm telling you, the guy that would make the biggest splash and the only one that I think would have the balls to do it if they paid him the money and opened the bank account would be Brock Lesnar. And people would tune into it because they'd be like, holy shit, this guy's WWE through and through. I'm just saying – if there's a chance for it to happen, he would be the guy that I could see doing it because they just opened the bank, back the Brinks truck up for him. That's all I'm saying.
And then what happens?
Doesn't
play,
matter.
Play the record out. So then what happens?
Destroys everybody and he becomes a giant heel and it becomes AEW going against this big WWE former star that I don't know. I just think if they want eyeballs and they want to make that jump, they need something like that. Bringing in all these guys like Keith Lee and, Adam Cole was a good one. Bryan Danielson was a good one, but it's still not the impact that Brock Lesnar would have.
I think what you're hitting on is a bigger systemic issue within AEW's model, which is you and everybody else that really is into AEW is gotten used to the big splash moment, right? Mm-hmm. And it's every fucking pay-per-view. It's, there's a huge announcement. Every other week, Tony Khan has a huge announcement. There's going to be this big star coming in. We're bringing in this former champion. They've been doing it since they started. They started, Vito. And the problem with that over time is that it has diminishing returns.
Oh, 100%.
So you can only get bigger and bigger and bigger until you've eventually plateaued. And now the excitement level for those announcements is just nil, if anything, right?
Yeah.
So you'll get the pop. I'm sure Chicago will be crazy for CM Punk, but you have to think going forward to be very judicious about who it is you're bringing in, when you're going to present them, and how you're going to present them going forward. That's the problem that I notice with them.
Oh, 100%.
Is what you do with them going forward. They're always wonderful for that big pop at the night. Especially the night of their debut. But what happens after? That is the problem. They get the big debut and then we don't see them for a couple of weeks, or we'll see them in a backstage segment, or we'll just see them in a tag match. And they don't, there's something weird there about how they're booking that. I don't really understand it. I don't anticipate it's like intentional, but there's just something that they're missing in how you're presenting these people that you're saying are these big acquisitions to the company. So you need to back that up with your booking,
right?
You absolutely have to. And bringing in more people doesn't exactly help that cause. You're just creating this car crash effect where it's just a pile up of all these people you're bringing in and then not using.
That's what I think. I agree with you. This isn't a disagreement in that situation. I think my point is, they're at a point right now where they're trying to get into these bigger stadiums. They're trying to sell out Wembley, right? They're doing all these things. They're trying to be this big program. And I fully believe they should just be building a lot of their talent on their own. I like the guys that we don't know. I love the Darby Allins, the Jungle Boys, right? Like, I love all of that. And that's what they should be focusing on. But if they want to get the eyeballs and people in the seats, they need a big draw. And the guys they've brought in, take out 90% of them. I don't care. The big ones I cared about were Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson.
Sure.
Those are the two that were big. And obviously CM Punk, right? But those two, they're decent. But if they want that big hit, take out the rest. They don't need to keep bringing surprise people in. I don't care about that. But you bring in a guy like Brock Lesnar or John Cena, which, again, I don't think John Cena will ever happen.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
That'll never happen. But you need a big guy like that just to get the eyeballs and the people over there. and you use him to draw them and you focus on the younger guys. WCW did that for a long period of time. They brought in the Hogan, they brought in the Nash, right? And then they started building their guys. You know, they had their Stings, they had Billy Kidman wasn't really a great shining example, but you know, the Booker T's, they didn't do it well enough, right? They didn't do it well enough that they were building, but Goldberg, they built Goldberg. Like, you can say what you want about him in his wrestling style, but he was a big star that they built. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, my point being, that I just think if they could open, I just feel like he would be the only one that, because you're not getting Roman Reigns, you're not getting any of those guys, you're just not. But Lesnar is the only one I think that would have the balls to take the money.
Because he just does what he wants.
Exactly.
Quite honestly, if there's going to be anyone, it could be, once his contract is up, maybe Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, again, I don't.
But it's not going to have the same effect. And again, it's going to be the same 100%. Thing. It's
That's what I'm saying.
Thing. And it's you sort of proved a little bit of this point for me already with, it's Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson and right.
Yeah.
Because you can't remember anybody else because it all gets watered down because it's happening all the time.
100%.
So you need to be judicious with it.
100%.
You don't. If those people are considered big stars, then work with them and do what you were just saying. Build up those other sort of the AEW original people, which for all intents and purposes, Double or Nothing kind of did, right? Those guys were in the main event. All four of them were in the match, and it was a world title match. So what else needs to happen there? Now they've gotten their shot. They got a pay-per-view match. It seems like they delivered. So now you carry that.
Agreed. I agree.
And then maybe you have them do some offshoot stuff with a veteran. You know, they already did that with MJF. They had Danielson work with him, and they had the Iron Man match. So
yeah,
they're already kind of doing it. But this is the mindset of wrestling fans. We get so more, and you can't see the forest through the trees. So be happy with some of the things you already have, because you're just asking for more for what?
No.
Because you just want the adrenaline shot. Everybody wants the adrenaline shot. So
I'm not asking for more. Listen, I don't want more from them. I'm just saying, if they're going to make a splash, forget about all these little guys coming in. If you want to make a splash, put the money into one big guy, get the eyeballs on there. And I think it would be a very interesting thing that people would watch, right?
I'm of the mindset that you need to trim the fat then. That instead of 100%. Bringing people in, you need to start cutting it down so that the people that you're presenting matter.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just another one of many.
The Hardys, come on.
I'm all set.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get rid
of them. I love them. They're fantastic. They had a great career, but it's... Oy.
Yeah, oy. No kidding. This is what I'm saying. Get rid of trim the fat.
Anyway. I don't want to turn into like an AEW bashing session, because it's not, I don't hate them. They're just,
no, I know. I agree.
Them and WWE baffle me sometimes. So I don't really understand. Yeah. It's both of them.
Yeah.
But
I give Tony Khan credit. I think he started with nothing. He's put money. You can tell he's a fan. He doesn't do things always the right way, and it's fine. Whatever it is, what it is. Okay. Let's move on real quick. Speaking of the Hardys, did you pre-order your copy of AEW Fight Forever?
So I had that pre-ordered last year when I thought the game was coming out in a reasonable window of time. So it's been, a year and a half? It feels like it's been like 2 years since they announced this video game. And I don't understand how this game has won some award when this game has never even been released. Who's playing this game?
Yeah,
how did it win an award?
I see people on TikTok all the time playing it. You know, what I've heard that's pretty cool is it's basically WWE No Mercy.
Yeah,
for AEW, but I think the graphics are almost similar to No Mercy. I'm
down with it though. I'm fine with that. I don't need it to be. Too. Yeah, no, I need a break too. From the 2K stuff. Like it's too involved. This is the simplicity you're talking about, right? It's just get straightforward. You got music playing during the match. There's no actual referee in the match. It's just sort of, you hear the 1-2. That's fine with me. Totally
is that
fine.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I had read up on some of the features that it's supposed to have. You can do intergender matches. There's going to be blood in it. You can use weapons. I think a lot of it. I think you can skateboard.
You can skateboard. I've been watching so that on TikTok.
The entrances are supposed to be similar to that of No Mercy, where you don't see them get into the ring. You just see them start coming out. You see a little bit of the video, them come out. They do like a little motion, and then they. So I'm fine with that. It'll just be fun to play. Doesn't need to like world shattering here. Just enjoy it. I'm down for that. So
I agree.
July. Maybe at your Independence Day party at your house, you can have up on the screen projecting.
Yeah, we could all play. Why not? I think that'd be great. No, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. But I do think it's funny that it was like pre-order now and you get your
Matt Hardy. Your Matt Hardy reward.
I was like, what? Okay, I'll wait till it comes out.
I'm all set.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Anyways, all right, let's move on. We talked about AEW. Yeah. We caught up a little bit on some of the stuff going on there. Hey, the only thing we didn't talk about, which I know you'd want to touch on before we move on.
Sure.
Jade Cargill lost.
I know.
It was kind of a weird way to do it, but I mean, interesting.
I guess fitting a little bit because it's double or nothing. So she decided to go for double. But she even said it on Twitter. I went for double and I got nothing. So she got greedy. I had heard that match with Taya was pretty good. So I think it was about time. Now you see what she does in the face of this adversity. How does she handle the loss? How does her character develop from here? Because she's been dominant. Now what happens when she kind of loses her baby, the title?
That's always the challenge when you do stuff like that, though. Yeah. Right? Like, because that's kind of the persona.
Because it's inevitable in wrestling.
Yeah, right. So, all right, let's move on to WWE. I know you, strutting from Gorilla, and strutting from Gorilla, the other half was also at
Mrs. Cash.
Mrs. Cash was also at an event. Please enlighten us on
what you were doing. I convinced Mrs. Cash to come with me to NXT Battleground in Lowell, Massachusetts. So it was a nice show. It's a nice venue, actually. I really enjoy that place. It's a little smaller. It kind of reminds me of a Gannis. It's sort of like the same kind of feel to it.
Yeah. Even smaller than that. It's almost like the ECW arena.
Yeah. It's not as small as there's another Lowell arena that I think I went to for another NXT house show once. And it was just like a small little, it's like where Finn Balor lost to Samoa Joe. Yep. Anyway, this Lowell Arena, nice little place, easy to get into. Parking was fine. You don't need to know that. Doesn't really matter, I guess, because I'm talking about the wrestling show. It was great. I think it was funny because a lot of people in the crowd were talking about the fact that Double or Nothing was also happening tonight. And they were at the once the show was over, there were still people saying like, oh my God, this is still going on. Like I heard people like watching it on their phones. They were watching Double or Nothing. So,
well, here's what's funny about that, Mikey. I'm pretty sure you texted me. I didn't catch the beginning of Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I saw a picture of you and Double or Nothing started and you sent us a picture of, you know, your show about to start. And then I texted you. I'm like, hey, are you watching Double or Nothing? And you were like, no. And I was like, oh, it's still going on. And you're like, oh, I'm tucked into bed. Like,
I'm already in bed, bro. I'm home. Yeah. I'm good. Yeah. It was a fun show. It wasn't very long. It was less than 3 hours, which I feel like as a wrestling fan, maybe just being a almost 38-year-old wrestling fan, it's in my sweet spot. Right, two and a half hours. It's perfect. Yeah. The matches were well done. They were well paced out. I really liked the triple threat match for the North American title with Tyler Bate, Wesley, and I'm forgetting who the other person was. But anyway, it was a wonderful match. The main event was great. Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker, those guys brought it. And man, Bron Breakker can really hang as a heel. I think he's got some potential. He still needs polishing. I think he's He's got to keep working on the promos, but you know, I'm enjoying his work. He's clearly very athletic. He's very good in the ring. I think he's picked up a lot of that Steiner skill in just being hard hitting. He's doing the Steiner recliner. He's really leaning into the heel Steiner character. The tropes that we've seen over the years. But Carmelo Hayes, man, Framingham native for the folks around Massachusetts. People loved him. They were all about him. And this guy is good. Very, very good. And you and I, you know this because I've texted you this before, but I said it, I think, earlier in the year that Carmelo Hayes and Grayson Waller will have gold by the end of the year. And half of my premonition has already come true. Carmelo Hayes is NXT champion. Yeah. And at some point when he's on the main roster too, he's going to make some noise if they don't fuck around with him and put him into some middling bullshit.
Doink the clown. He'll be Doink the Clown 2.0 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but man, that guy's very good. But the show overall was really, really well done. I was really surprised by Tiffany Stratton, quite honestly. I had only seen bits and pieces of her work down in NXT, but the match she had with Lyra was really, really well done. They did a good job of her sort of selling the knee. Tiffany's very, I think she was a former gymnast, so she is incredibly athletic, but I think she did a wonderful job in that match. And just see where she goes now. I think this, them giving her the title feels like a kind of like a test run for me, in my eyes. So we'll see what she does with it. But yeah, Battleground was a good show. Fun overall, man. I was pleased with it.
You know what would have made the show even better?
What?
Brock Lesnar came
out. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, Brock Lesnar. Listen, my night was made when Booker T came out. I was so excited to see him. I took like a nice video of him.
Sucker.
Oh, the crowd went wild for him. He was like the first person of the night to be introduced.
I'm sure. Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, the Strutting from Gorilla crew is just making their rounds.
Making our rounds, events, man.
And, you know, I think we had a friend of the Friends podcast involved in some segments, Jay Stu, right?
Yeah, yeah. Good old Jay Stu. He got pushed by Bron Breakker.
Yep. There we go. You know, big things are happening around here. And that's great. That's great. I'm sure the crowd went wild when he came out. You know, everyone knew who he was and just went wild.
That's right. But, yeah, it was a good show.
All right. So we'll have to, until the next one, we'll have to see when the next one comes around here. I think we're trying to get to AEW at the TD Garden, which again, big strides, but big price tag for what it is. So we'll have to see.
All right. So we're talking about a little Night of Champions. Did you watch that?
Bits and pieces. It's hard to watch a WWE pay-per-view in the middle of a Saturday. Like, it's just hard, you know.
That's funny you say that, because I feel like you are the only person that I've heard say that now.
Maybe
people I enjoy it.
I don't know. Maybe I just have things to do on a Saturday, mow my lawn.
Wow, you know? That's fired. That's fired, you know. Okay.
I got things to do. I don't know.
I'm in a condo, which is house light. Okay.
Saturdays are my days to get things done around the house. It's a little tough to throw it on, but no, I don't hate it. I just always forget that it's on in the middle of the day. And by the time I'm like, ah, shit, it's, there's a pay-per-view on, I'm in the middle of doing something. I forget. So I don't know. Maybe I just have to set a reminder on my phone. I don't know. You know how this is when you get to the mid 30s, you got to put reminders in your phone. So
it's for everything.
But I heard it was pretty good.
You
know, I again, the Bloodline story probably stole the show. There were some other good matches I heard that were on there.
The tag match was really good. For me, I think my personal favorite was probably Becky and Trish. They killed it. That was it was a great match. Great match. And I think this was Trish's first one-on-one in a long time. So I thought it was really well done. Her and Becky have some really good chemistry in the ring. I think a lot of people were surprised at how well Trish has been doing since she came back. And maybe this is a little bit bigger. We'll come back to Night of Champions, but it's a little bit bigger because something that I'm noticing is Trish is getting that sort of legend veteran run that you see a lot of the guys get, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you saw the Goldbergs get it. You know, you see these guys that just sort of come back, or like the Dudley boys for a while, they came back and had a little nostalgia tour, right? This is cool to see that with the women, because it's finally due. And if anyone deserved it after all the bullshit she had to put up through with, I mean, you remember those segments with Vince and all that stuff. Like that's like to be able to have these moments. I mean, not only wrestling, but dude, she's wrestling in Saudi Arabia. Like nobody ever fucking thought that was going to be possible. Not even having one match on the card, let alone there were three women's matches on that card. So that was amazing in my view. So yeah, just bringing it back to Night of Champions. I thought it was a good show. It was solidly paced. That was another one that like it was closer to 4 hours, but it actually didn't feel like it. They did a decent job of how they paced sort of the matches that they kind of wanted to focus on and had a little bit of breather matches. Which, unfortunately for Natalya, she was in a breather match, and Rhea Ripley just ran through her in, I think, less than 10 minutes.
Yeah. I heard the AJ Styles, Seth Rollins match was pretty good, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not shocking.
It wasn't surprising. I guess that's why I didn't even mention it, because it's just sort of like, they're on autopilot. You can put them in anywhere.
Yeah.
They're going to have a good match.
Yeah, agreed. And then who was the other one? It was Sami Zayn and KO versus Roman and
Solo,
which, you know, you saw the first time in a long time. Roman Reigns loses.
Yeah, loses? He didn't get pinned, but he lost.
No, that's why I had to rephrase that. Yeah, he lost. Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see where this goes. But you know, Night of Champions, at least the ending of it, served more as like an appetizer for actually watching SmackDown, because you just got to see sort of where things went with the Bloodline. And man, Bloodline's done. Seems like for all intents and purposes, Bloodline's broken up.
Yeah. I mean, but before we get to that, though, I think there was one match we didn't talk about was Lesnar and Cody Rhodes.
Oh yeah, you're
right. Bring that up.
How do we forget that?
Yeah, I only bring that up because you had made mention on our previous podcast when we were spotlighting Dusty Rhodes about similarities between, you know, his hard times run and what Cody's going through now, and I think we're kind of seeing that same thing.
Yeah, I think we are. We're seeing the clear influence of it there with the way he's selling these injuries, and people are anything that's going to create legitimate speculation, I think, is a testament to the performance of the wrestler. So I do think that they are taking very, very clear notes from these former storylines of Dusty's. And if there's two people that I think are invested in doing that well, it's going to be Triple H and it's going to be Cody Rhodes. Yeah. I think they are working very closely together on this story. I think it's coming out well so far.
Yeah. I mean, you put it against a good heel, right? Lesnar's kind of the unbreakable force. I'm not sure they needed to have the whole like broken arm thing. I mean, I guess,
but it's wrestling. It's always going to go a little over the top.
I know. But yeah, I heard that one was, I mean, the match was the match. I mean, it is what it is, but it's the storyline that I think makes that whole piece shine. The other piece I wanted to talk about quickly was, what is WWE doing with LA Knight?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't get it. He's so over with people, and they're like, for some reason, I don't know if it's a Triple H thing or what, but he's just like, I think they're handling that. It's almost like a Zack Ryder situation, right? Like, I mean, I think LA Knight's a better and bigger star than Zack Ryder could be. But I mean, how much does LA Knight remind you of The Rock with his promos?
Eerily so. A lot of it. It's just its mannerisms, it's like the cadence of his voice, even sometimes the pitch can sound a little bit like him.
100%.
But you know, I think that's just kind of him. I almost think that's you're starting to see wrestlers that were just clearly influenced by that generation before, where it's not they're not necessarily imitating them, they're just sort of just taking on little bits of their characteristics. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I wish they'd give him more of a chance. I think he's very much over. I mean, they did the press conference with Triple H, and they just started chanting LA Knight.
It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. Hey, yeah. There's a lot of the year left.
Yeah. Well, I hope he gets a shot. I heard rumors he's the one that's going to win Money in the Bank, this whole thing. We'll see what happens. Who knows? All right. And then lastly, before we shut down for the day, I think the biggest storyline is the breakup bloodline. Of the bloodline. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been working since January. So
yeah,
I think it needed to finally take this step. I think it was risking going on too long of will they, won't they, will they, won't they, in terms of the Usos sort of breaking off. But it's a good development. I'm interested to see how they continue to center around Jay about what is he going to do. You know, Jimmy broke off, and even Roman at the end of, I think it was the end of SmackDown last week, said, well, what about Jay? He's like, he'll fall in line, which is what's happened over throughout the course of this. So I wonder if this will also be sort of the final domino that falls where Jay will finally just sort of leave and kind of the brothers are back on the same page. But
I think it's going to kind of come to a halt at SummerSlam. And I think that because of the tension in the bloodline, that's going to somehow cost Roman Reigns the championship. Title? I do.
Man.
Because, I mean, think about it. You have this dominant force. How do you end it so that he still looks dominant in mm-hmm. some fashion? Well, it wasn't really his loss. It was the tension in the storyline with the bloodline. And how fitting would it be to see Cody win it, right?
Mm.
But instead of someone coming and interfering for Roman, the brothers, the Usos, help Cody by having him still win against Roman. But
how does Cody get there?
I don't know. That's good. Maybe it's not.
He's on Raw.
I just think that would make the most
Roman's
sense.
On SmackDown.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. How else does it accumulate? Like, you think it just dismantles? Like, I don't know. I would think that makes the most sense. You know, the other option is, you know, there's turmoil in the bloodline, and maybe the real tribal chief himself comes back.
Yeah, The Rock ain't coming back. I love him, but he ain't coming back. It's that pipe dream is done. What you're describing, like, you're talking about two different things, though. So yeah. With the Cody thing, we've talked about this before. I think that's eventually he might run it back and win the Rumble. That's how you can get to that. That's really the only way, unless somehow there's some trading going on, like we used to see back in the day with the draft, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, we'll trade Seth Rollins for Roman Reigns, right? Like I don't think they're going to do that. But with Cody, he'd have to win the Rumble. Or just start going rogue. Like, what was it when Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels fought? You know, they just kept going rogue and like going over and beating the shit out of each other. So I don't know. I don't see that happening any other way. When it comes to Roman losing, I mean, he's pretty much lost everything now. He's losing his backup. He's losing the bloodline. He kind of has solo, but you got to wonder what's really happening there. So I don't think Roman's going to lose at SummerSlam. I think selfishly, because I have my own premonition here, is that he's running it bell to bell. He's going at least to this next WrestleMania and who knows, maybe beyond. He's already breaking records. I mean, he's about to pass Pedro Morales. So he's going to be fifth on that list.
Yeah, I still,
that's insane.
I think that list is like an asterisk. It's just a different situation. I get the rage.
Yeah,
is great.
It is.
But when you have two champions, like it breaks it up. Like I get
what you're different. Saying. But dude, you're talking about when those records were set, wrestling was at a different point in its development. And You needed guys like that to sort of hold it down for a long time. However, the fact that the business moves so quickly now, and look at the Attitude Era even. If you know, it's the one we always prop up, right? Because it's the one we grew up with. How many year-long title reigns were there in the Attitude Era? None.
So let me ask you this question. If Roman loses,
yeah,
right, and his reign's like, I don't know, call it 1,020 days, okay, mm-hmm, and he has the Universal title, Seth Rollins now has the heavyweight title,
yeah, right?
If he holds it for 1,050 days, whose reign's more impressive? They're two totally different belts, but two people can have
them. Both reigns will be impressive.
Yeah, but there's regardless, two people that can hold the belts, whereas one person, like, they're like,
yeah,
to me, I just think that having one, though, you should have one title belt. You should have one. If there was one title belt, no, if there was one title belt, I would, mm-hmm, agree with you 100%. But I just think it's totally different. Like, think about it. Hogan held the belt forever. You can say whatever you want about that title.
Right,
I don't care. But it was one belt, and there was only Intercontinental Championship and a tag team belt. There was nothing else for years. Like, that's way more impressive in my opinion, because there's a million other people that can come by. You can have an Intercontinental belt, you can have this belt, you can have that belt. It seems like you had one person at the top. For me, Roman Reigns is clearly far and above everybody
else. He is the guy.
But I just think the title reign thing is, it's like home runs in baseball. Like, you know, it's like totally different situation, you know, when you have smaller ballparks, you have people, you know, you could have a million home runs. You're playing more games. You have a DH. Like, it's just different scenarios, I guess.
That's the evolution of those businesses, the evolution of those sports. Whether you like the evolution or not is doesn't matter.
Agreed.
It's happening.
Agreed.
And so, like, you can hold that cannon in your head and make it up all you want that, oh, well, it doesn't really count to me because I don't think that you should have multiple titles. I don't think that home run should count because there's smaller ballparks and he might have been doing steroids. What's the bottom line? 73 baseballs left the fucking park, right? Okay.
I guess
that you can't dispute that fact. What's happening? This guy's been champion for over 1,000 days. You can't dispute that fact. And that's the bottom line. Like, you can come up with all the scenarios you want in your head, but
I guess
this is the reality, dude.
If you had a million titles back when Hogan was around, Hogan might have been champion for 10 years.
Yeah, if the Mutts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas every day. But, like, that's not how it went. Like, you can't, like, what are we doing here?
This is the debate you can always have, though.
That's
why I enjoy these.
I know, you're getting me hot. You know.
But these are the debates you can have, because I don't think they're apples to apples. But I understand what you're saying. I think his reign has been I liked that they made him Universal Champion, because that actually gave it more impact, right? Like, he held both belts. To me, that's impressive, because that's like holding one belt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, hey, I'm going. Yeah. So I guess you could make that argument in there. But I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. And, you know,
that was fun. It's been a while since we got into that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think there's a lot going on in wrestling. I think if you looked at our podcast from now until when we started this back in 2020, you know, these discussions we're having are a lot more fruitful than when we were talking and we were just like, WWE sucks. This is terrible.
Yeah.
There's just our content is more based on what's going on and the relevancy towards it. And I just think it's, every wrestling program is going to have something that we don't like and we could do better. But I think there's more good stuff going on now and there's more options and it's exciting. I'm excited to see how things go.
All right. Well, I think we've tapped everything out here. So, you know, we just want to thank everybody for listening today. Hey, Vito, glad you're here. Glad that we can hook up like this and record. I know we don't get to do it as often in the summertime. Life just gets really busy for us. But again, we thank you guys for sticking by us and listening. And you know, we will say that we will be back probably in a few weeks or so, maybe a month, just because of the way summer works out. We'll have a new episode for your listening pleasure. Once again, thank you for listening today. And until next time, don't forget, keep on strutting, jabronis.
We now return your perception of reality to you. Until next time.